PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is Mr. Zach Oakley over at Callaway Golf. Zach, welcome back.
Dan, always a pleasure to be on with you.
Yeah, I always pick the best times to get you on here, right? You're not doing anything in the office. Nothing's going on.
Nope. Never, never. We don't launch product that often, and we never have anything exciting to talk about, right?
Never, ever, except for a huge release, better known as Quantum, now that we all get to actually discuss it. The fun part about these January shows is there's sort of whispers of it on THP prior to the new year with the granddaddy. All the guys get to go out and get fit for the new product, understand what's coming this year, and then like have to bite their tongue and not talk about it until the release actually drops. So we've had awesome rumors, some great golf was played, and now it's finally time to, I suppose, unveil it. So my question to you would probably be, do you want to just get started right on the driver side, or where do you want to focus on? That work?
Yeah, let's talk driver. I mean, that is definitely the hero of the family. It's the one that I think probably the THP guys were most excited about coming out of the granddaddy. And yeah, it's definitely a big shift for us. You know, I think we look at, you know, where we were, you know, the last couple of years. I mean, we've had some big launches, some, you know, big innovations that we've had. But I think this one, at least over the last probably 8 years, is the biggest in terms of a step change from, you know, not to say that others were incremental, because there were definitely some big innovations, but this one is kind of a bigger jump compared to where we were last year with Elite, maybe compared to some of the other launches in the past. And so Quantum, you know, really to start kind of the genesis, like why did we make Quantum and why did we kind of pursue the avenues that we did? You know, we know that ball speed is important. Callaway has always kind of been known for ball speed. And when we look at a metric like strokes gained that measures a player's, you know, performance compared to the average in the field, that stat is actually almost twice, it shows that distance is actually almost twice as valuable as accuracy. And so what that tells us is that if you hit it further, you know, kind of regardless of where, right? I mean, obviously, if you're two fairways over, that's not going to help anyone. But you know, whether you're in the middle of the fairway or you're just in the rough, if you're closer to the hole, you're gonna score better. That is just a proven fact. And so we really kind of focused a lot on ball speed and how do we give players you know, meaningful change there. And it's obviously easier said than done. We talk about limitations and trade-offs all the time. I mean, that's just the reality of you know, R&D and physics. This year we had a pretty big breakthrough, and that was looking at multi-materials as a way to, you know, overcome some of those trade-offs and limitations we might've had in the past. And that's where, you know, for the first time ever, we're actually using three different layers in our face design, to increase ball speed.
Jeez. I don't want to get started on that. I feel like that's one of the primary talking points right now, but I love to talk a little bit about familiarity, because there are a lot of golfers out there who change drivers every 20 years, and there are a lot that change every year. So I would suspect that those that are more inclined to make a change are looking for that same sort of feedback, that same sort of profile, that same sort of performance they're familiar with in their product lineup. But they're definitely looking for a step up somewhere. And one of the things I noticed just looking at Quantum right out of the gate is I saw something which I assume is pretty familiar, and that's this 360 wrap of carbon that goes all the way around the head with like big chunks of metal on both sides, you know, connecting the dots. So in terms of familiarity, what important pieces were continued from Elite?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see certainly the 360 degree carbon chassis. You're going to see that in our triple diamond models, as well as the Max Fast model. You know, a lot of the shaping is going to be similar, right? We were, we made some adjustments to the shape last year to make it a little bit more aerodynamic, you know, increase swing speed, remove drag. A lot of those elements are still there. artificial intelligence, a lot of the things that you've heard us talk about over the years, a lot of those elements are still there. And I think from a familiarity standpoint, if you're someone who likes the way a triple diamond looks or plays, you're still going to get that. You're just going to get these elevated performance metrics when it comes to, you know, ball speed. If you're someone who was in the, an elite standard or a Paradigm AI Smoke Max, you're going to see a lot of that in the shaping and the address view and the performance that you would expect from a flight or launch perspective. You're going to see that in the corresponding models that are replacing previous gen.
That's interesting you mentioned Max D, because listen, dude, I always go triple diamond first and make my way out from there. You know what I mean? So, you know, I get a little wrapped up in the profile. I'm the kind of guy that let's be fair. I got fit at ECPC and I was proclaimed that I belonged in that head on spin alone. So I'm the kind of guy that the hitting the middle of the head's not the problem. It's the path in which I get there that's problematic. Sure. So but I noticed in Max D there's a pretty fundamental change from the other heads from a presentation, at least on the sole, looking at it, seeing a shift in weight. Why make that very focused change for that particular head?
Yeah, so the Max D, you'll notice, doesn't have the adjustable weights on the outside. The reason we do that is because we can effectively move more weight and position it where we want to get a desired outcome. In this case, we want to have more draw bias. We want it to be able to turn over a little bit easier. In general, the players that are playing the Max D, need more forgiveness. They need something that's easier to hit. If you do happen to use more of the face than others, that is going to be the most forgiving in the line. So we really focus that particular model on forgiveness, on something that's easier to turn over, easier to get the ball up in the air, and just overall a more confidence-inspiring look than, maybe your Max or even your Triple Diamond, right? And each model has its own role in the line. And when we look at the Max, on the Max model, that's got a discrete weight system that you can kind of move weight back and forth, neutral on the toe, and a little bit of draw bias on the heel section. So, but you're not going to get quite as much as you would with maybe a Max D. So kind of different levers that we can pull across the five different models.
That's interesting. And it almost feels like it stands on its own. And I think what you're going to get here, Zach, is a group of golfers who are fundamentally focused and confident that that's the best driver head ever. And then everything else is sort of secondary to that. And it's going to be fun hearing the way they talk about that. Like, oh, this isn't your quantum. This is my quantum. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty entertaining. I think it's important to talk Triforce face. Shout out to JNude, who said this has to be in the show, which means it's clearly a big deal. And it's something to do with multiple alloys or multiple materials that you're incorporating.
Yeah, so we teased it at the beginning of the show, but multi-material faces, again, chasing ball speed. It's not as simple as just throwing three materials together. It's obviously a lot more complex and really understanding why we put them in the order that we did. So the three materials you're going to see, titanium, that's our striking surface. Not really a surprise there, but you know, the reality is that to really push titanium further, you've got to make it thinner. You can't keep thinning titanium out forever without having some sort of a trade-off in terms of CT rules. You'll have durability concerns if you go too thin, right? You're gonna have faces that are breaking. We don't want that. And so we wanted to thin the face out, but how do you thin the face out on its own? You can't. And so that's where we look at the other material. So kind of the back portion of that is carbon fiber. Carbon fiber is lightweight. We love the material properties there. And carbon fiber is really strong under the force of tension. And tension is what happens behind a face as it compresses a golf ball. And so in theory, and how it works is you put titanium up front, which handles, the thinner tie, which will flex more, give us more speed. But because it's thinned out, it needs a partner. That's where carbon fiber comes in. It kind of catches that titanium and then allows the whole face to flex and recover faster. That's kind of the two pieces of it, the front and the back. fundamentally, you got to find a way to stick these things together too. You can't just epoxy them or glue them. Those tend to get rigid. They can add a lot of weight. They can have durability concerns if they're not designed to handle ballistic impacts. And so the team actually had to go out and find another material, a material we're calling polymesh. And this is a military grade polymer that kind of goes on like a honey almost when it before it's cured. So it maintains kind of that flexibleness that we need, but it's designed for ballistic impacts. It was actually designed for military applications, building makeshift bunkers that would prevent shearing from shrapnel. So it's really strong, but maintains that flexibility that we need. And together, the sum of all the parts, it's allowing each kind of role, each material to have its own role to give us that faster ball speed.
Okay.
I understand.
Well, I'm trying to align with the concept here and relate it to other things. You know what I mean? So, like, there's always a conversation about durability and drivers. You see it online all the time. People either think their driver is the most durable thing on the planet, or they're showing a broken driver and saying, "Why does this company suck so bad?" So there's a very clear difference there. But as you guys push the envelope, there obviously is a trade-off, and I completely understand that. What made you go to that extra depth? Did you feel like the limitations on Ty and the thickness that existed along with the AI incorporation, was there no more that you could have done there? Or like, what caused you to go into this other direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so there's kind of two schools of thought, right? One that says, hey, titanium is the future. We're going to continue using titanium, which is 95% of the industry. And then there's the other side of the coin, which is carbon fiber. And carbon fiber, like I said, it's lightweight. It's great when you're putting it up somewhere like a face because you can save weight, reinvest it somewhere else. But the reality is that carbon fiber under the force of compression, which is when you strike a golf ball, it's inherently just weak as a material there. And so putting carbon fiber up front doesn't really help us because you're going to have durability concerns. You've got to make it really thick to withstand the ballistic impacts. And then on the flip side, titanium, to your question, yes, it's maxed out in its current thickness. You can't get it to really get any faster. So you've got to thin it out. But again, you're going to have durability concerns if you go too thin. And so being able to kind of pair these materials and put them in the best place to succeed. Right, there's a reason we didn't put carbon fiber up front on the face because it's weak under compression, but it is strong under tension, and it is a great partner to that titanium. It allows us to take that 14% thinner versus a standard tie face, so we get the benefits of that thinner tie, but it's not going to have the durability concerns that you might see if you were just by itself.
Interesting. So it almost does the titanium in a lot of ways, other than performing the way it ought to, act as sort of a barrier and protectant of the carbon fiber profile?
Yeah, it's 100%. I mean, it's a striking surface, so it looks like a typical titanium face from the outside, but what you don't see is that it is thinner than a standard titanium face we would have used on a lead or smoke or any of those drivers. And the carbon fiber essentially just sits behind it and reinforces that titanium.
Wow, that's really interesting. I'm really trying to correlate it to a real world application of something. The best I can do is like a steel-toed boot kicking a soccer ball or something like that. It doesn't hurt when you kick it with steel, you know.
Correct.
That's incredibly curious. And the benefit that I have is I wasn't at ECPC last December, so I'm sort of getting hit in the face of this as well. And I love that because there's always a conversation. Are they doing enough to really separate themselves? And I spent quite a bit of time with Triple Diamond Tour Draw last year. So I'm quite familiar with Lead. I think the performance kind of stood on its own. And the idea that there's like that next iteration, like this to me says, I need to go hit this. I need to experience it.
100%. Yeah. It's definitely it's a step change, right? It's using multi-materials to, in a face design for drivers, which really hasn't, you know, using multiple materials is a relatively new concept, but it is allowing us to innovate and maybe push further than we could with just a single material.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about shaping and whether there's been any significant change on that side. And profile always matters.
Yeah, and we, you know, we feel like we have a pretty good formula that works in terms of shaping. So there's not really a lot of change there. You know, especially like you start looking at some of the tour models, you know, those have been the same for, you know, outside of very, very small changes that most people wouldn't, you know, really pick up on. And a lot of it's just kind of fine tuning. You know, they're going to be very familiar. And that's by design. We want it to be where if you purchased a triple diamond driver 5 years ago, you're not going to be surprised by going, well, this doesn't look like what I'm used to, right? Same thing with any of the models, really. You know, we want them to be familiar. So you're going to see a lot of, you know, similar shapes, but obviously there's a lot more under the hood than previous iterations.
That's sweet. I really need to know, and look, I know you're a golf purist. I know your expectations are incredibly high on this thing, although you have changed a lot becoming a dad and all that. So maybe it's, you know, secondary now. Maybe you're not as needy, but sound is everything, right? And if you don't have a good sounding driver, you're going to turn people away. So curious on that, how much this sound changed the people are coming from your last or former iterations of the heads. There's been an unbelievable progression, especially like Paradigm, AI Smoke, unbelievably good sounding drivers. Where do we stand with Quantum on that?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question because a lot of people would think, oh, you change the face, there's going to be a different sound. Most of the sound you hear on a driver actually comes from the sole. And so it actually matters more on what material you have in the sole. So you're going to notice a different sound on our Max model, which has a titanium sole, versus, you know, the triple diamond models that have a carbon fiber sole, right? You're going to have one that's a little bit more metallic, probably a little bit higher pitch, still sounds great in our Max model. And then you're going to have something that's a little bit more composite sounding, and maybe where you would expect, very similar to Elite, right? Elite tie sole has a little bit different sound than, you know, the triple diamond Elite, which had the 360 carbon chassis. The face design isn't really changing the sound much. And so if you're familiar with where Elite was sounding, it'll sound very similar. If you're familiar with where Paradigm AI Smoke sounded, the triple diamond models that have that 360 carbon chassis are going to sound like that. If you go back a couple more generations where we had Rogue ST Max and those all had tie soles, our Max model, our Max D model will sound similar to that. So I think there's kind of different sound profiles for different, you know, depending on what you want to hear. Generally speaking, the face isn't really affecting the sound.
Interesting. I figured it would have some impact, and I assume more on like the vibration component of things, but, you know, obviously different parts of the head play a pretty big role in the way this sound presents. And, you know, I've been really satisfied with how, Callaway's navigated that over the last couple versions of their driver. I remember hitting Paradigm for the first time and just being like, yep, they did it, here we are. It'll never get better than this. And of course there's always progression on that, but I'm curious about the different heads just purely based on who they're focused on. I know there are benefits to where you're presenting spin. Obviously triple diamond's going to be in that sort of lower echelon. The Max D is going to be more supportive of spin and launch. I'm my assumptions here, but I'm also curious about in terms of expected speeds that golfers would apply it to. Is there considerations on some of the heads being more fine-tuned for a faster swing speed versus some being fine-tuned for a slower swing speed?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, going towards a artificial intelligence discussion, I mean, that's part of our process when we're looking at face designs. You know, we started, I think it was with AI Smoke and the AI Smart Face, using real golfers' swing code is what we called it. You know, looking at delivery, looking at swing speed, that was one of the things that goes into that output, and changing the face performance based on, you know, who generally should be playing this product or who is generally going to fit best into this product and making sure that the face is going to be designed for that player. So yes, and you start looking at the triple diamond models, those are modeled for a higher swing speed in terms of the face design and the AI output. Doesn't mean that you couldn't play it if you're a slower swing speed player, but you're probably going to see better performance from maybe the Max or the Max D or the Max Fast if you're really swing speed challenged. And so, it's definitely part of it. And I think as you start looking at the spin characteristics, you know, the triple diamond model, lower spin, typically your faster players are going to generate more spin as they're generating more speed. And so those models are going to be optimized for lower spin. If you were to look at max fast, where spin is typically something a player might struggle with because they don't generate enough speed, we're going to try to engineer a little bit more spin in that model. I mean, it's still low spin in terms of, like, it's not going to be a really high spin driver. No one makes high spin drivers anymore, but you're trying to optimize the spin for that player, and knowing that that player is going to need more spin to keep the ball in the air, that driver is going to be modeled for that.
Got it. Yeah, the one thing we haven't spent a lot of time talking about is AI, and I assume it is still very much a part of the Callaway DNA when it comes to building these types of things. It's fun that it's been around enough where you feel like it's just part of the identity it has and you don't have to speak so loudly on it. But I'm still incredibly curious, how much has that changed? How much has the AI incorporation sort of changed over the last year or two? And what kind of impact did it have on this head?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much an integral part of our process now. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, Callaway is still the leader in that space. I mean, everyone's using AI now. And so to some extent, like, you got to be a little careful because it's like, oh, we use Microsoft Excel. Like, every company uses Microsoft Excel. But so not to dumb it down, but it is a part that, you know, a lot of companies are looking at. The difference is that we use it completely different than anybody else. We have way more resources dedicated to it. You know, we've been using it for quite some time. And so it's just like anything, it's a tool. We have, you know, a lot of things that we've learned over the years. So we are very familiar with how it works and how it can affect performance. And, you know, our expertise there is just a little bit stronger. That being said, in terms of how it's changed in this particular application, it has changed quite a bit, because now that we have three materials, we're modeling three different materials in that AI process, as opposed to just using titanium. Those materials, carbon and polymesh, have different material properties. They deflect differently. They alter the way titanium is deflecting. And so there is a lot that went into this driver in terms of, you know, using our AI expertise to now model three materials. And the end result was something that I think maybe we were even a little surprised in some of the early prototypes, was how consistent the spin that we were getting out of this driver. And it's one of the things that the tour, it's one of the first things they noticed outside of the ball speed. It's just how consistent the spin windows are. You know, we're seeing, I don't have the graph in front of me that that kind of shows this, but, you know, essentially we're seeing a larger cluster of shots end up in that optimal spin window, call it between 2200 and 2700, depending on your spin that you typically generate. But for the tour pros, you know, that kind of nice window right there, we're seeing a lot more consistency there. So what that means is that in a fitting environment, you can essentially be fit to a lower, more optimal number that's going to provide the most distance without having to worry about, oh, hey, if I catch that one a little bit off the toe, I kind of enter that danger zone of not being able to control it. Or you see that for a right-handed golfer, that ball tail off left and really be kind of that the hook that you don't want to see. Or on the flip side, that shot that you tend to catch a little low on the face, it just kind of balloons up in the air. We're not seeing that as much. And that is attributed to the artificial intelligence that we're engineering in this.
Nice. Can you put in a good word with that team to see if they can AI my angle of attack to like zero instead of -3? I'm still waiting for that. Like, how do you fix me?
That's a question for our biomechanics, our biomechanics guy, Quentin.
Jeez. You mentioned tour. I'm super curious about adaptation and sort of first reactions they've had. I assume the tour's had plenty of time to take a look and get a feel for it and build their own perspective on what Quantum can offer them. How has the reception been?
It's been great. I mean, obviously, you know, those guys, you know, they want to be able to, you should be able to hand them something, and then they should be able to take two or three swings and just feel comfortable with it and just know that it's going to perform the way they want, right? They don't want risk. They want predictability. When your livelihood is tied to hitting golf shots for a living, you need it to work the way that you want it to work without having to change your swing. And Quantum has been great because it's faster. They're always going to take more ball speed, especially when we are pairing it with the ultra consistent spin that we're seeing. So they're basically just getting something that's longer and more forgiving than what they previously had without changing fundamentally, you know, what they're expecting. And so it's been really good. You know, we've had some, the like I said, the consistency in spin is something that those guys have really fixated on, just because, like I said, you can fit them into a kind of a lower window in terms of spin, which is going to give them more distance, because that drop off just isn't there. That the one that they don't want to see just fall out of the sky left that they can't control, it's just not happening. And so they can kind of get all the benefits of the speed and the lower spin because it's so consistent. And I think there's a story about Akshay being in town not that long ago and kind of putting the driver through the paces. And I think there was a TrackMan, a GC Quad. There was, swing coaches trying to get slow motion video because they just weren't believing the numbers that they were getting out of, call it, off-center hits and how consistent they were. So it's been a great tour transition so far.
Yeah, it's always funny when they read the numbers and say, that's not where I hit it on the face to get that. That's a big teller right there. And especially for the guys on tour, they have a very good idea of what they should get. Must be nice, by the way.
Like robots. Yeah.
Well, I know I don't have a ton of time with you today. I think we should probably jump straight to irons. I know there's fairways and hybrids that are worth talking about, but I think it's important to get to these irons because they have a really interesting look to them. It's obviously Quantum is a shared name. Mm-hmm. Where did these come about? What was the origin of this story?
Yeah. So for Quantum, I think, you know, kind of going back, we didn't really talk much about the aesthetics of the Quantum driver, but, you know, we really kind of as a whole had to reimagine, like, what does a Callaway driver need to look like? So we spent a lot of time kind of fine tuning our aesthetics, the colors that we chose, the way that we kind of went about the ID. And in a similar vein, we kind of looked at the irons and says, what is a Callaway kind of game improvement, distance and forgiveness iron? What does that need to really stand for? What does it need to look like? And admittedly, we kind of looked at where we were the last couple years with Elite and AI Smoke, in particular, kind of the core irons, not the HL or the X iron, but the kind of core Elite and AI Smoke. And those were getting pretty small. They were getting, they weren't really kind of signaling the forgiveness that Callaway's always been known for. And so we kind of went drawing board there. And what you'll see when you put Quantum down is something that inspires confidence, something that is approachable, something that looks easy to hit. You're going to see a little bit more offset, thicker top lines, longer blade lengths, and general, just something that looks very forgiving. And that was by design because we know that this golfer is looking for something that's easy to hit. And on the flip side, you know, as we talk about ball speed on driver, you know, we're still focused on ball speed with irons, but it's in a through a different lens. We focus on ball speed on driver because, as we've demonstrated, you hit it further, you're going to score better. When it comes to irons, it's not necessarily about maxing out distance. That's not necessarily what you're looking for. What you're looking for is, can I hit more greens? And how do we do that? Well, we're giving you more speed and consistency across the face. And so, you know, you look at a typical strike pattern for a game improvement golfer and it's kind of all over the place, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, you're not hitting the center as often. I think it's something like 85% of strikes are outside of center. So if your iron isn't built to perform outside of center, then it's not really built for reality. And so that's where we had to focus to really help that golfer get more forgiveness across the face so that they can hit more greens.
Yeah, just looking at it straight out of the gate, it gives me Callaway vibes. I think back to a bunch of different options throughout the years, and It definitely kicks back that sort of familiar experience, which I love that. I mean, all the way back to the original Apex, that sort of shaping their XR Pros, that kind of stuff. I definitely get a sense of Callaway familiarity from them, and I think that's a very good thing, yeah. Especially considering how popular a lot of those irons were. But, you know, just reading the spec sheet, I know there's a lot going on. And I see 360 undercut, which I don't believe is a new concept, but I believe it's been sort of reimagined.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 360 undercut, you know, obviously having kind of a giant cavity there, lots of perimeter weighting, you know, face cups, those types of things. Those are obviously very much a part of Callaway's heritage. And to your point, it's not a new idea, traditionally, but we've kind of rethought this, and what we're calling it is the modern 360 degree undercut. And if you were to look at a traditional undercut, and this is going to be, I'm going to try my best here to give the kind of simple explanation. It's a lot easier. No,
we like the ones where we're foaming out of the mouth by the time you're done.
Yeah, well, I say that because the in general, it's kind of hard to show without having the slide. But, you know, typically what you'd get is in a traditional undercut, you've got a body. I'm going to pretend this is an iron here, so this is really fun. You've got the hosel, you've got the body, you got the sole. Those all get kind of cast as one piece, and then you weld the face on. And that kind of is your face cup, right? And when you weld the face on, what you get is you get a little bit of room in the center section, right? There's room behind that face. And you want that because it's going to give you more face flexor. It's going to give you more speed, especially in the center. As you move closer to the edges, specifically lower on the face, which is where we tend to really miss hit our irons, when you get closer to that weld line, it gets rigid. You don't have as much face flex. There's not as much room for that face to breathe or flex, and you see ball speed drop off when you hit it there. And so what we said is, okay, how do we rethink this? So what we ended up doing was is we cast the face, the hosel, and the sole all as one, and you actually weld the back on. What that does is it allows us to move our weld lines further back in the head, and it creates kind of this nice channel that sits kind of near the sole. It's essentially, I think the technical term is a wider sole hinge. So you get a lot more face flexure low on the face. This is going to give you more ball speed where you tend to miss it. You're still going to get all the benefits of speed out of center, but you're really going to see it on those low face hits. What we're seeing is, you know, you're probably giving up 4 miles an hour or something like that low on the face on a traditional undercut. Whereas with Quantum, you know, I think our testing is showing somewhere around 2 miles an hour loss. That's a big difference. That's the difference between coming up in a bunker and making it onto the green. And for game improvement golfers, we know that if you're in the bunker, those strokes can add up quite quick. So again, all in search of, you know, helping golfers lower their scores. And in this case, giving them more speed where it matters.
What I don't understand is why you keep referring to poor strikes and saying you and we, like I have to be a part of that or you have to be a part of it. What's up with that? I thought you were good at golf.
You know, we all, hey, look, the reality is not even tour players hit the center of the face every time. So,
yeah, we don't need to tell them that. Well, you hit the middle every time. You get that nice little triangle shape on your muscle backs. Yeah. It's incredibly obvious that is necessary on this type of iron. And my experience just looking from the outside in, thank goodness I don't have to design these things, is there's been a lot of focus on adding material as far into the perimeter as you possibly can without destroying the balance or quality of the contact. You know, we're a long ways away from this sort of triangular material behind the center point of contact, and understanding that there is a great benefit to having weight as exposed to the perimeter as possible. And it seems like there's a lot of consideration for that here, very intentional lines, even though it is quite geometric, and I really appreciate that because it's going to look good in a bag. It also tells me or gives me this suggestion that that it's very intentional.
100%. I think that's, you know, the undercut, because it is so large, we are able to move obviously massive amounts of weight to the perimeter, and you know, essentially you've kind of got this pretty hyperactive face because of how much weight we're able to kind of move to that outer portion.
So I know that microspheres are involved again. It's a term that's probably near and dear to everyone there. over the years, but it also sort of represents a Callaway sound profile and a vibration or feel profile. Where does Microspheres incorporate into this head, and why does it matter that they're there?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, Microspheres have become kind of a staple, right? You're pretty much going to get urethane Microspheres in every Callaway iron that isn't an MB or a TCB, right? Unless it's if there's any sort of face cup, you're going to end up with urethane Microspheres. And the reason is that it allows the face to flex without really hindering that. But it also does dampen vibrations. And especially in an iron like this, where you do have, you know, a wider sole hinge, you've got a lot more of an active face, you've got a lot more room in behind the face. It is inherently going to sound different than a forged iron, right? The materials we're using aren't the same. The process is a little bit different. It's going to sound more active. It's going to sound more explosive. And sometimes that can bring upon maybe if you're looking for something that sounds soft and buttery, you're not going to get that with Quantum, but that's okay. It's all about this particular platform is about distance, is about forgiveness. But urethane Microspheres help us bridge that gap to where it is, you know, an iron that does sound explosive, but in something that is like, yeah, I can play this and I'm not offended by the sound.
Awesome. There's also three different types of heads. You focused on OS, which I assume is a slightly larger head, maybe even longer heel to toe. You've got Max and then Max Fast. So I assume Max being the more midline, and then Fast being just big time performance, probably a little aggressive lofting, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So the Max is kind of that core game improvement iron. You know, it's going to be a majority of players are going to fit into that. Like you said, it's kind of that midline. And then as you kind of move to the OS, it is larger. It's more forgiving. It's the most forgiving in the Callaway portfolio of irons. It's got more offset. It's got thicker top line. That whole iron is built for forgiveness more than anything. And then your Max Fast, again, is kind of the for that lighter weight, easy to swing profile for players who are going to benefit from just an overall lighter weight club.
Looks great. I mean, they really do have a great presentation on them. The more I look at Max specifically, I'm understanding the value there. And, you know, I've had a long love affair with having a very forgiving four iron in my bag, one that I can get off the tee over 200 yards and sort of cheat my way onto some of the tighter holes. And you know, this is always my tester, like would I see this in my bag? And to me, this is an iron that it does look very good. So it's nice to see that without any concessions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, they are built for forgiveness, but we want them to also look great too, right? You have to, you can't be offended when you look down at something. Otherwise we're not doing our job. So I think the team did a great job of, you know, building that forgiveness and approachability into it while also maintaining, you know, something that's pleasing to look at.
I'm going to do something pretty unfair to you, but listen, we're in your window of time here, so it's on you, not me. I want everyone to know that. Like a couple minutes sound bites on the fairways or the hybrids, what people can expect this year?
Yeah, so I mean, I think with the fairways and the hybrids, I mean, first off, we're sharing technology platforms there, so we can kind of talk about them as one here. Reason we do that is, you know, we don't really feel like you should have a trade-off between fairways and hybrids. They're becoming more interchangeable, right? We've seen a lot of players ditching the long irons in favor of a high lofted fairway wood you know, a hybrid in place of a four iron, right? So we intentionally made them kind of a very similar platform. And the other thing is, you know, we feel like we have a pretty good formula for success in those products. And so we didn't really reinvent the wheel here. We just fine tuned what we know works. And you know, it's kind of like, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And so, you know, really fine tuning and making the technologies that we know are going to help golfers, just making them a little bit better. So, you know, your kind of core three pillars that we focus on are our consistent launch, impact location, and then gapping, obviously. So, you know, we took kind of the concept that we've had in the past, kind of this low weight forward that has had different iterations. You know, it used to be kind of welded on the sole, And then last year we moved it internally. We call it the Speed Wave. The Speed Wave is a suspended weight that essentially sits as close to the face as we can push it, while also not sitting on the sole. And so that suspension is actually important because it allows the sole to flex. So similar to the iron, we want to see ball speeds low in the face go up, because that's where you tend to miss your hybrid or your fairway wood when you're hitting it off the deck. And so we get more speed by having that weight low and forward while not sitting on the sole. The second piece is the step sole design. So this is something that we, again, kind of launched with Apex Utility Wood several years ago, fine-tuned it with Elite, and then we're fine-tuning it even more for a little bit more stability here. But essentially it's taking, sole area on the bottom of the club that is kind of not doing anything for you. If anything, it's hurting you because it's catching the turf, it's bouncing up into the golf ball, and it's making you miss low on the face. And so by removing that and adding some more stability, we're able to increase and move that impact location higher on the face. So you're striking the center of the face. And if you're striking the center of the face, you're going to have more ball speed, you're going to have better spin, you're going to have better launch, all those things. So those are kind of the two things, right, that are the biggest drivers of performance in these. And then we will have OptiFit 4 hosel. It's a different hosel configuration that will just allow for better gapping. It'll allow for a better fit in terms of we specifically will have the ability to go two degrees flat or 2 degrees upright. So we can affect start line a little bit differently there. And again, as we see the landscape of golf change, where more players are adopting higher lofted fairway woods and hybrids in exchange for those irons, it's important to make sure we have gapping right.
Awesome. You said it better than I could have. Thank goodness for that. I appreciate you, my friend. It's always fun having you on because it usually means exciting new stuff. So I definitely appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. And I know it won't be long before we're back here. So looking forward to it.
That is the goal. All right, my friends, if you are playing golf this weekend, have fun. Go check out the new Quantum lineup from Callaway. It looks incredible. A great new consideration or idea with the, I'm going to get this right, Triforce face, which sounds incredible. So go hit it for yourself. Tell me what you think about it, especially on the forum. And I know the Granddaddy guys will be in there shouting about it theirs. We'll see you guys next week.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey everybody, Happy New Year. Hope you all had a good holiday break. Back at Shaft University, answering your questions. This question is about steel shafts and vibrations that cause some pain in your elbow. That can certainly happen. Now, some of that can be from the swing, prior injuries, whatever it is. But this particular THPer asked if there's a steel shaft or a weight that can help reduce that. And the honest answer is not really. Most steel shafts are going to transmit vibrations. The lighter weight ones actually transmit them a little bit more. They kind of ring like a tuning bell, so that's going to be worst case. What I'd suggest you try out is steel fiber. You're going to get the benefits of a steel shaft, having that steel winding on the outside, but the graphite core is going to dampen that vibration a lot more. That's my best recommendation for something for you to try. Thanks a lot. We'll catch you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.